I want to welcome to Radio Gorgeous today the multifaceted Naomi Lloyd. I say multifaceted for reasons which become very evident. She is a photographer, she's a writer, and she is a diamond philosopher. She believes in making stronger bonds, and she wants to bring together her four what she calls passion atoms together. And I need to mention she is also an ambassador for You Can Free Us, which is a human trafficking charity. Welcome to Radio Gorgeous, Naomi.
Hello. Nice to see you again, Donna. Thank you.
Excellent to see you. I do want to mention, you and I met because you were photographing an event
I was at. Yes.
And you work with your husband. You guys are wedding photographers.
That's right, yeah.
And portrait photographers.
Yep.
Of matrimony, weddings, babies, people, yeah. Events.
Special bonding moments in people's life, which I'm very fortunate to be able to capture, and people invite me into their homes and I get to experience lovely moments. It's a great job. Yeah, I've been doing it for about 12 years now and I love it, I really do.
Excellent. You're also a writer.
Yes.
Of a series of fiction for young adults.
Yes.
We'll call that for now. We're going to leave that
to
one side for the moment. And then I want to get to the diamonds philosophy. I'm utterly fascinated. Introduce us, explain, entrance us.
Okay, great. So my diamond philosophy really is about expressing the connection that humans share with diamonds. This is not a philosophy about perfection or surface sparkle. It's really taking the different facets of the diamond, but not just the exterior facets, but the properties of a diamond, the magic of a diamond, and the lessons that diamonds can teach us. We really do share a lot of parallels with diamonds, and it's something that, you know, I have to explain in a little bit more detail, but there's some fantastic stories, and I'm kind of on a diamond journey that is just unbelievable, and it feels like I'm going to be on it for a long time, and I really want people to come on this journey with me because it taught me a lot and it's given me a lot of energy, and I get very passionate about talking about it and the people I've met along the way.
So when did you first become enamored of diamonds?
Well, that's the interesting thing. I mean, I'm not somebody who wears a huge amount of jewellery. I own one diamond ring, which is my engagement ring, which is obviously very important to me for all the important reasons that diamonds are, that symbolic reason. This is something that sort of came to me. You know, it's a bit like when songwriters say, I wasn't really in charge of it. It just kind of came to me, and it really started with a dream, as a lot of things do in life, and I just kept dreaming about these people on another planet, a parallel, this word parallel comes a lot to me, parallel planet, where they look very much like us, but they're kind of a homogenic race of so-called perfect people, but their diamonds appear in their pupils, and their flashing pupils in their eyes, and they get all their energy and their longer life from the power of the diamonds that they wear. And they each wear a bespoke coloured necklace, which I've called the Dorado. And you have the coloured diamond. Is it the sort of the centre of this eye of this pendant? And the colour of that diamond, it reflects you and your energy. So it was just a story I had to write, and then it just, as it developed, I don't know why was I writing about this? It just kept coming to me, and there were stories of triangles and water and energy and how it affected other people. And from there, I started researching diamonds and talking to people in London and Amsterdam, and oh my goodness, I couldn't believe these parallels. A story of people and diamonds just kept coming back to me, and I met all these gemologists that got really excited talking to me about it, because they were going, yeah, that's right, that's how we see diamonds. This is what's amazing about them. They you know, formed billions of years ago, and they are fellow carbon star creations as we are. So that's it's just a fascinating area to look into, and there's an awful lot you can learn when you start delving into the properties of the diamond.
And tell me, what's something we can learn from diamonds about ourselves?
Well, one of the biggest ones is why my sort of strapline for all of my passion atoms is making stronger bonds. And this comes from we know a lot of people understand that a diamond is what represents strength and endurance. But the interesting thing is, if you speak to gemologists, it's actually quite easy to break a diamond. You just have to find its weak point. That's not necessarily the main magic of a diamond. It's the tight bonded atoms inside a diamond that give it its unbelievable light. When you look into a diamond, you can get quite seduced by a diamond because light travels so much more slowly in a diamond. And it's almost like thinking about a rugby scrum. About how atoms are tightly bonded together, and that's what makes it amazing seductive light, and gives it that special adamantine effect that we love diamonds for, and that's what brings it back to people, that we shine that much more brightly when we're bonded and when we're connected. And there's a lot of stories that I've managed to sort of bring together through meeting all the people on my photography journey as well.
Could you share one of those stories?
I could actually. It's a story when, about 18 months ago, I was photographing an event. So every will have probably heard this fantastic lady, Kathy Lett. She was talking about her book called The Boy Who Fell to Earth. And this is all about her experiences and a fictional story of her experiences of a mother with a son who's autistic. Jules, who's actually an actor on Holby City, I've met him and photographed them together, and they've got the most amazing bond ever related. Relationship. I'll come back to that, but when I was photographing them, Kathy was talking about how protective these feelings were about for her son when he was being bullied at school, and people not understanding how unique and special he is, and how difficult that is as a mother. Now, it sort of really said something to me, because I'm actually hard of hearing, and so I related to it. I related to those experiences. And it's funny, because this song kept coming to my head as I was photographing this event, and anybody who's sort of I'm 39 now, so everybody born in the UK will remember probably this TV children's series called The Raggy Dolls. And The Raggy Doll was about Mr. Grime Toy Factory, where these dolls, all these perfect dolls, were on this conveyor belt. They would get to the end of that conveyor belt and be allowed to be somebody's perfect doll at the end of it, all being well. But of course, like with anything, you get these quirky ones along the way that didn't quite meet the grade. And those were called the Raggy Dolls, and they'd get chucked off the conveyor belt. And they'd go off and have some fantastic adventures, but they, weren't the perfect doll. And when Kathy Lett was talking about her feeling as a mother, and I'm mother myself now, it just brought all these memories back of that feeling of being, telling yourself, hey, it's okay, I probably wouldn't have met the grade of, if I'd have been in Mr. Grime Toy Factory, but I'm a raggy doll and I'm unique, and as we all are. And this song kept coming back to me, and I realised that this is these themes and this frustration I have with this idea of flawlessness and this pursuit of perfection is a real bugbear for me because of this, and it's something that I've always followed through my life, whether it was studying Nazi history or when I did a law degree and I was studying what happened in South Africa and apartheid. And from there, I decided to go back and speak to Kathy and her son about their bond and how that close connection that they share has just made them even stronger, more strongly bonded. I think that's what happens with people, that when you're put under pressure, whether it's through bullying or other things in life that come to us, we do bond together. We become like that rugby scrum, and that makes us strong, and that makes us actually be able to reveal more light in the same way that a diamond does. A diamond's formed under pressure, it's tightly bonded, and it releases, reveals that much more light. And also, they're entirely unique, a diamond, just like a snowflake, just like a fingerprint. Every single diamond is completely unique. They are not they're not those perfect dolls on a conveyor belt. And I think what's beautiful about that is I've learned to sort of go back to that little girl who I was at 7 years old, walking to school happily with my hearing aids in my ear, saying, "Hey, Grandma, I'm a bit of a raggy doll," and then being quickly put down when I got to school, and people didn't see those hearing aids that way. They didn't think it was a cool accessory that I did. And this journey that I've been on recently, sort of going back to the basics of, you know, bonding and uniqueness and light and connection. All these themes that you find when you start to near diamond is just giving me a lot more energy, giving me a lot more light.
Well, to me, it's interesting because, you know, in your professional life, you are. I mean, it is the moments that people are looking for perfection.
Yes.
For the perfect engagement, the perfect ring, the perfect wedding day, the perfect birth, the perfect baby, and you're sort of documenting those events. But of course, because there are people involved, on one hand, yes, they're perfect, and yes, they're gloriously imperfect.
Oh my goodness, absolutely. And I'm the one who's in the room in the morning when it's all hell breaks loose, you know.
Before the glass,
the music starts and the tears, you know, roll down. But I've seen some amazing moments, a moment that always really, really, you know, make me actually feel like crying behind my lens. When a father walks in and he sees his daughter, and they are kind of a very special bonding moment, but at the same time, you're right, there's a lot of pressure put on people in with these events, and I do experience, and I know that's influenced me in my writing, because I think it's important to approach a relationship and a wedding day and that diamond symbolism as being about the fact that somebody dug that much deeper. You can't approach a connection, an ultimate love connection with somebody as this is perfect. Or the wedding day, I mean, whose wedding day is that perfect?
You know, well,
the quirkiness things, the ones you remember, aren't they? I don't know if you had that experience at all.
Well, it also makes me think that, you know, diamonds are formed from immense long-term pressure.
Absolutely.
So absolutely. Both their sparkle and their flaws are created out of pressure.
Absolutely. And, you know, that also brings me to reaction. Reactions are an interesting thing as well, because if you think of a diamond, as you mentioned, is formed over billions of years. I don't think people always really think about that. I didn't used to think about that when I wore a diamond. I just thought, kind of, it was, you know, he bought it, gave it to me, wow, you know, it came from the shop, but no.
It's my diamond.
It's my diamond, yeah, exactly, my diamond. But and, you know, diamond goes through such a long, long journey, as you've just said. And along the way, it collects. Things happen to the diamond. It collects. It contains memories. It collects its own little history. Things that you can't always see. Things that are hidden inside the diamond. Some diamonds. I saw one this morning when I interviewed a lovely designer. And you can actually look into them through a microscope and see these hidden element that they collected on their journey. So, for example, one diamond was showing me had a little orange diamond and a green diamond inside it.
How cool!
Very cool. You can find diamonds when you look for the microscope, it actually looks like a unicorn. The things that they collect on the way. Now, according to the diamond grading system that we have, and not to criticise it because it's important to have a grading system so that people know what they're buying and they've got that confidence, absolutely. But there is a flip side of that a ring that has some kind of inclusion, that has that beautiful memory that you have to dig that much deeper to find, just like in a person, you have to dig that much deeper to find and understand their journey. It wouldn't be considered a flawless diamond because it's not, because it's not pure, it's not flawless. But that's what brings me to where we do share parallels with diamonds, because who wants an empty person? Mm. Who wants somebody who hasn't had an experience that you can draw on and you connect with and that you can understand? And it's those hidden elements that you find within a relationship that might irritate you, but you are also special and that bond you. and that make that relationship and that person so much more important. I wouldn't want an empty person. You don't want that plastic, fantastic sort of situation, do you?
But also, that brings to mind some of the very negative history that diamonds have witnessed, and a lot of blood has been shed over diamonds, both in in families and in getting them out of the ground.
Yes.
So I want to, because you've done extensive research, met many gemologists, work with a lot of companies. Tell me some of your experiences along those lines as well.
Well, I have met some amazing examples of very positive diamond reflection by companies that are really giving back. So it's not, I don't think it's my place to go back in time in history to things there's a lot being said, there's a lot being documented about it, but there's also been a lot done as a response to that. They've got the Kimberley, you buy a diamond now, you can have to understand the provenance of that diamond, where it's come from. I think there's a lot of work being put into people being able to go and visit the mines where they came from. And if you do, you could find some really fascinating things. So earlier last year, I went over to India, and I actually interviewed in Mumbai an amazing company called SRK Exports. And this is a real rag-to-riches story, where the owner of this huge export of diamond company in Mumbai, well, he was turned up in Mumbai with no money at all, and he managed to somehow get this company going. Not that many years ago, maybe 30, so don't quote me on that, but he never forgot his earlier experience, he never forgot where he came from and his village, and there's a real spirituality about that within the diamond company that I found, particularly in places like India. And 50% of the director of that company's working day is spent on the social responsibility program that company gives back. They set up schools, educational programs for women. There is an amazing amount of work being done in that area. And just being around those people when they were talking to me, it was the same language we were having, even though we had very different accents. We were talking about a diamond, and it connected us, because we were talking about things that are important and about your purpose in life. That when you have a purpose and you can connect your energies together, you can give back. And when you bond those energies together yourself, like this gentleman who set up that company did, he made it. He was a success, and he didn't just sit there. He wanted to give that diamond light back. And that's how they see diamonds. They see them as being, yes, very good for showing sparkle and beauty, but also reflecting that light back. And within my diamond philosophy sort of plan and my website that I'm developing, I really want to be able to show examples of this positive reflection in diamond companies. I know Royal Asscher Diamonds, I met in Mancashire in Amsterdam. They've got a fantastic Stars of Africa project. And if you look at a lot of the really beautiful diamond jewellery, a lot of the time they're connected to charitable organisations. So I would like to show some of that, because I think it's all too easy to pick up on a film or a celebrity whose name bears a similar resemblance to mine, which is perhaps a bit unfortunate. And you can hear that, and that's what sticks. But that was a shame, because it's not the diamonds that have been bloody, it's humans that have been bloody in the past. But we can change that.
And we've been
that.
Bloody about
a lot of other things. And I won't go too far into that, but the things that we use every day, things that you even holding one now, if you were to look into some of the ways the provenance of these things, it's not as clean and pure, if you want to go back those words. So we have to take a step back from that and actually, take the diamond lesson. It's your choice what you choose to do with something that's beautiful and valuable. You can reflect it in the light out, or you can turn it into something bloody, which is
okay. So tell me about your upcoming trip to to South Africa.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Because you will be having your own reflection.
I will, yes. Yeah. So, as part of my fictional story, which I told you about, that came from a dream, the Tandro connection. A big part of it is set in Cape Town in South Africa, and 2 years ago when I was finishing the first book, I needed to go over there. Of course I did, I had to go to Cape Town, I needed to finish the book. And I contacted Johan Liu, who is the head designer of Ubeketa, which is South Africa's most awarded jeweller, and I said, I just really feel that it would be good to design this Dorado neck piece that's a symbol of the book series that I'm writing in Cape Town, because that's where it's all going to be set, and I've got a really big connection with South Africa. I just love the place. And amazingly, this wonderful man who's designed for Nelson Mandela, who's designed for Kate Moss and Nicolas Cage, and said, yeah, come along, I've got a feeling about this. And this is the weirdest experience. On the plane over to Cape Town, I woke up at 3 a.m, as you do on these long-haul flights, and I thought, oh, I better quickly scribble down my idea for the design. And I just drew a picture of an eye on a collared necklace, and inside the eye was a diamond pupil, and that would be where the diamond pendant would sit, and that would be the different coloured diamond. I drew it down on my notepad, nervously went over to meet Johan at the Ubeketa headquarters, and he got me a coffee, and he said, I've just done some notes this morning, and I am not joking, I have a picture of it somewhere. He had drawn exact same design. We are now very good friends. My whole family are going to stay with him next year. And he, when I go over there, he will, 2 years in the making, he's going to present me with the Dorado neck piece, which will be hopefully my husband still agrees, but it will be my 40th birthday present. And also, it's the place where we got engaged, so it's a really special time. So I'm definitely hoping to video it for the vlog and the YouTube channel. And in fact, in the meantime, I think Ubeketa are going to be taking some video themselves of the Dorado in the making. So it's quite exciting because it connects it all together.
And do you, I mean, because to me that story, you know, is your diamond philosophy made flesh. You know, that you both, you know, you're finding these connections.
Yes.
And, I mean, do you feel that there's sort of a lighted path in front of you?
Sometimes it feels as though the goalposts keep getting moving further away. It's funny, I woke up this morning thinking about that. The first paragraph of my book one of the Tandro connection starts with a dream. I thought it made sense. Often I know it's a bit of a cliche, but in this case it was. You know that? Have you ever had that? You're a mum, so you know what it feels like, that when you have a dream where you can't, something's happened and you're trying to get to your child and you can't get there. Well, my mum had that dream when I was a little girl, and she told me about it and it stuck with me. So I it's a lot of mother-child, issues going on in the books, and I started the first book with this dream similar. My character Stephanie the parachute didn't open and she couldn't get up the hill to her little boy, and it was all about him being sick in real life, the way your subconscious works. And sometimes this journey feels a bit like that. Just when I'm getting up the hill, the hill become bigger, and that's my fault. I keep making it bigger, or something else is making it bigger. I don't know, but. I'm trying to enjoy it, and I'm hoping that people will enjoy reading about it and getting involved and maybe getting involved in some of the campaigns I'm hoping to start about how you can be a diamond yourself and connect your passion atoms together find that final connection to give a bit more light back where you can. And that's what I've been trying to do with the charity that I'm involved with as well. They're working to rescue young girls in India from the horrors of human trafficking as well. So there's all these, yeah, it's a big journey. And it does connect together. And I keep telling my husband, it does. You just have to have a big heart with it, I think.
Naomi, thank you so much. And anyone who wants to connect with any aspect of Naomi Lloyd and her phenomenal work, it is www.naomilloyd.uk.
That's right.
And that'll be on our website, etc. So you will be able to find her.
Thank you.
And make your bond stronger.
Yeah, make stronger bonds. That's the idea. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Naomi.
Thank you.